This is The Immigration Conversation, presented by Fragomen, a series of talks and discussions by leading immigration lawyers and professionals from around the world. We'll bring you the most up-to-date business immigration news, issues of concern, and strategies in the world of global immigration and mobility.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fragomen Conversation, although this is more like a part two of the last one we had on Vietnam. So as expected, although earlier than anticipated, Vietnam has now issued its final amendment to Decree 152, and this one is in the form of a new labor decree, Decree 70. Now, with the number of changes that were put into place, this may well be our longest episode yet. So once again, my name is Ramona Pereira, and I'm a senior manager with Fragomen's Asia-Pacific Coordination Center, which covers our immigration services into Vietnam. I am joined again by my colleagues from our Asia-Pacific Coordination Center, Kenneth Lau, partner overseeing the region, David Harvey, assistant manager for Vietnam, and Shervin Gunn, consultant. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today.
Thanks, Ramona. Welcome back, everyone.
Hi again, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, Kenny, would you mind giving us a quick summary of what our previous discussion covered and what transpired since our initial discussion on the labor decree changes so that we can bring our viewers up to speed?
Sure, Ramona, I'll try my best. In our previous episode, I think what we discussed at length was at the time, the draft amendment to Labor Decree 152. So again, going back a bit, Decree 152 is the labor decree that has been in place in Vietnam since February of 2021. And that pretty much overhauled the entire work permit system in Vietnam to become one that has been very protectionist over the last 2+ years. Our discussion at the time in our last podcast, which is about 2 months ago now, it was based off of the initial draft of the proposed amendment to this Decree 152, and that draft that was released to the public in an effort by the authorities to solicit feedback from the business community in Vietnam prior to this final amendment now being issued. So, of course, at that time, the authorities only gave us 1 week for that comment period. And during that period, of course, we did gather feedback from our client base. And to be honest, we really already had a lot of the material, a lot of the feedback ready to go based upon that lead up to that draft amendment being issued. So now we initially anticipated the final amendment, which now appears to be in the form, as you mentioned, Ramona, of a whole new decree, Decree 70. We initially anticipated that to be issued in late October, potentially early November. So I do have to say that the first surprise here is that they did manage to release the amendment a whole month early in advance, but that could point to a number of factors, including how much pressure there's been on the government to act on this, as well as the fact that there were not a whole lot of changes that we've seen from the draft amendment, a lot of which we already reported on in our last podcast.
Thanks, Kenny. I think you summarized that quite well. So just to add on, we have also taken the time now to review Decree 70 against the initial draft, and I must say that we are pleasantly surprised. But just to be clear, while my take is that overall the decree is a positive step in the right direction, the work permit process in Vietnam continues to be lengthy and cumbersome, and a lot of these changes will still come down to the discretion and the overall mindset of the various departments of labor or DLSs, who will ultimately be administering the new decree. While the decree represents an overall improvement to the process in terms of transparency, we can also see an attempt by the authorities to standardize the workflow and processes across the provincial labor departments. It is unlikely that there will be any significant improvement to the processing times and requirements without the concurrent overall shift in mindset to a less protectionist stance by the labor authorities. Again, on the face of it, Decree 152 did not have to be so protectionist in and of itself, but it was really that shift in mindset to a highly protectionist one that caused a lot of the additional requirements and delays that we saw creep in over the last 2 years.
That's right, David. The overall gist of the changes seem to show that the advocacy effort that we and the other business groups in Vietnam have put in were not in vain. And I must say that we definitely made our voices heard with the help of our co-counsel in Vietnam. We were able to proactively submit feedback on Decree 152 very early on, and this was even before there was talk of the draft of Decree 70, and to also try to influence the final Decree 70 through the submission of our recommendations to the authorities. While not all our requests and concerns have been addressed, and I think it would not be realistic to think that they would be, the final changes definitely address a lot of the feedback that we had been advocating for since the introduction of Decree 152.
Thanks, everyone. I think you've summarized it well. Now, we have a lot to cover today, so let's get to the changes. Kenny, in your opinion, what would you say is the most impactful change?
Thanks, Ramona. I think to me, the most impactful change, one that we've been hearing about so much on the client side, would be the potential decoupling, if you will, of the applicant's educational background with their proposed job title in Vietnam. And the reason for this, it may not be what you think. Under Decree 152, the educational background of the applicant had to be directly relevant to their proposed job scope and job title that they were expected to take on in Vietnam. However, this degree relevancy requirement, it was solely determined by the authorities, the officials or the officers in their absolute discretion. So needless to say, there could be some officers who interpreted this requirement very strictly, and there were certainly some of those officers, to the point where the specific degree major had to match exactly with the proposed job title in Vietnam, or the application could be rejected. And this, of course, does not take into consideration the reality that most job applicants these days, they do deviate from the courses that they took back in college. So this requirement, or really this practice, it was the focus of the feedback of many companies across Vietnam, many of our clients certainly, as this requirement really had the impact of limiting the types of candidates that they could consider for a role in their organization in Vietnam. Therefore, I think that this change will really be well received, and it was one of the main changes or clarifications that we were really pushing for. The other change that I would like to highlight is one that has been kind of really lurking under the surface ever since Decree 152 came out back in 2021. And that's the issue of what to do after the foreign national has maxed out on their current duration permitted under their work permit. So under Decree 152, the maximum duration for a work permit or for an initial work permit was for 2 years. And then the authorities will allow only one renewal on that initial term for another 2-year term, so a maximum of 4 years. And as you can imagine, that could be a sore point for both businesses and for the foreign nationals themselves, many of whom had been living in Vietnam for many years and in some cases decades. So under the new decree, Decree 70, while this 2+2 term didn't change, it's still brought over from Decree 152. The authorities have now added a clause that does confirm that a work permit can be reissued, if not renewed, beyond that second term. And then also beyond that, they will even reduce the documentary requirements for any new or reissuance applications. So as that had been an open question under Decree 152, this probably does come as a relief to many companies and their foreign national employees in Vietnam.
Thanks, Kenny. Given the rise of Vietnam on the global stage, it has been an ongoing challenge for businesses to plan for the long term with the frequent changes to Vietnam's immigration and work permit policies. Now, with the changes that you have highlighted, it does seem that this is an area that the Vietnamese authorities are paying attention to, and these are certainly welcome changes. Now, on this note, we are seeing the Vietnamese authorities continue to consolidate the work permit process by standardizing and codifying the existing practices that had only been implemented in select provinces at this stage. Shervin, could you take us through some of these changes?
Sure, Ramona. So the first change I'm going to talk about should come as no surprise, since this was already present in the initial draft of the labor decree that we had discussed back in July. And this is the introduction of the labor market testing requirement. Companies that have a presence in Ho Chi Minh City and certain provinces in the south, they will be more familiar with this requirement as companies were already required to submit proof of job advertisements, but this was in more of an ad hoc or rudimentary fashion as part of the application. So now, Decree 70 will require all companies within Vietnam to comply with this new requirement, and the authorities further mandated that the job posting must be done on a portal that will be centrally managed, or at least managed by the provincial authorities. The good news is that this change will only take effect on the 1st of January 2024. So this gives companies about 3 months to ensure that they have a process in place, and this also gives the government more leeway in confirming the portals. It will be interesting to see how this change will be implemented, as I imagine that the provincial authorities and the ministry will have to start allocating additional resources to manage the change. And this seems to be a common theme in Decree 70, as the authorities continue to consolidate the authority of both the ministry and the provincial labor departments for the work permit processes, and continue to standardize the varying requirements across the nation, which is probably a good thing generally. But this has also resulted in the removal of the authority of the individual industrial zone authorities to administer work permit related applications. And it is likely that businesses that fall within these zones will have to file their applications to the provincial labor department or the ministry as applicable. However, the flip side of the change will likely be the sudden increase of workloads of the provincial DOLISAs, and this could be a concern as it will most likely be an impact in the near term. For example, the last time when we had a similar situation was for the process changes to the job position approval process in late 2022. And that had resulted in lengthy delays to the application process due to the teething issues then. I can only imagine how a shift like this could disrupt the applications for those provinces that aren't used to handling such volumes. And the final complication to this change will be the reduction of the minimum submission window for job position approval applications. And this was from 30 days before the start date down to 15 days. While this sounds beneficial, the change should be approached with caution. On paper, it would definitely represent a process improvement because on the face of it, it would look like the company can submit an application nearer to the targeted start date at the last minute. However, the changes coupled with the increase in responsibilities of the provincial labor authorities that we had just discussed again is likely to result in a huge increase in the workload of the provincial authorities. And it is likely that subsequent steps in the overall work permit process will not be completed within that 15-day window anyway. So this kind of renders it moot as an improvement on the current process. We would still recommend that JPA applications be submitted as early as possible and even as early as 45 days prior to the start date.
Thanks, Shervin. I'm especially apprehensive on the changes that are taking place at the provinces with large industrial zones. It is a known fact that Vietnam is a beneficiary to the manufacturing supply chain shift from China. While I'm sure that businesses would welcome a transparent and unified process across Vietnam, especially when they are setting up operations at multiple locations in Vietnam, a lengthy delay to the work permit process is likely to be a major concern to them. And this would bring us to the next point, which is the scenario where a foreign national may need to work in more than one location. We sort of saw an iteration of this being addressed back in the now rescinded Resolution 105, when a foreign national was permitted to work for 6 months at a secondary location in another province, so long as they submitted a notification to the relevant DOLISA. The new Decree 70 also addresses this scenario. David, would you like to take us through this change?
Sure, Ramona. So as you've mentioned, we did see the authorities attempt to address this issue with Decree 70 by putting work permit applications for multiple work locations in multiple provinces under the jurisdiction of MELISA, who is the National Labour Authority, if you will. But this, unfortunately, was probably not the solution that the business community is looking for. So by now, we have had extensive experiences with applications submitted to MELISA rather than the provincial or local DOLISAs. And we have seen success with such applications as well. However, it's important to note that these applications are certainly not straightforward or streamlined, with each application with the ministry taking more than 6 months on average to complete in the context of Decree 152. And it still remains to be seen whether the Melissa process under the new Decree 70 will be treated any differently. So just as a way of background, applications to Melissa are usually heavily scrutinized, with frequent requests for additional documents on top of what is already officially required. So while we're glad that there's now a pathway put forth for multiple location work permits, just based on recent experience, we think it will also take a fundamental shift of resources and mindset again within Melissa. So as you alluded to earlier, Ramona, the shift in the manufacturing supply chain continues to move businesses and, as a result, more foreign nationals to Vietnam. And a multiple location work permit is definitely something the authorities, the labor authorities in particular, should be looking into fleshing out next, especially with the popularity of the contract manufacturing model. Unfortunately, with the Vietnam process still remaining quite a local one, it's not too clear if and when this will actually be developed. And so while the work permit changes should not be grouped together with the immigration side of things in Vietnam, we should still be mindful that with the recent immigration regulation changes that we saw back in August 2023, the immigration authorities have almost, in contrast, made it easier for travelers to enter Vietnam with the expansion of e-visa program to now covering all nationalities, including those that were previously restricted. With this kind of contradiction in place between the immigration and labor authorities, I think it's now more and more important that businesses ensure that they have a compliance and governance framework in place when it comes to their overall immigration strategy in Vietnam, as they could find themselves caught out by the different authorities. With these competing and often clashing interests from the government, it can easily become a trap, if you will, for companies trying to do the right thing by one government agency, but then getting caught out by the more lax policies of another. And while Vietnam is a unique in the sense that there is a short-term visa option that does allow travelers to perform hands-on activities as long as they do adhere to the labor requirements, it is still one of the countries to still not have a short to mid-term solution. And by that, I mean anything that's over 30 consecutive days, since the lead times to obtain a regular work permit exceeds even the amount of time that that individual would need to be in the country.
Thanks, David. I believe that we have covered both the immediate challenges and the long-term challenges with the changes brought on by Decree 70. Now, I'm sure that we can all agree that the changes are at least a step in the right direction overall, even if we do not necessarily expect any changes in the processing time.
That's right, Ramona. But I also don't think it's wrong to be cautious, having been burned, of course, figuratively in the past a few times. I think, as we alluded to in the last episode and this one, what we really now need to hone in on and look out for is whether or not there's been a true shift in mindset. David mentioned this several times, but whether there's been a true shift in mindset by the labor departments. So as we mentioned, on the face of it, Decree 152 even, while it was overly protectionist, no doubt, what didn't help was that Melissa itself came out strongly in favor of a very strict protectionist interpretation of the rules at that time and instructed their local Dolisas to be similarly strict. So it will really be important to monitor and observe what that rhetoric looks like coming from the Melissa surrounding this new decree more than anything. This is something that we'll continue to look out for over the next couple of months for our next discussions. Unfortunately, the ongoing issues with the discretionary authority that's been given to the local authorities, that was not really addressed in Decree 70, and it may continue to plague the Vietnamese work permit process moving forward. And then finally, I think another interesting thing that the team alluded to a bit already is that many of these final changes that made their way into the new Decree 70 were actually lifted directly from Resolution 105, which I think, Ramona, you mentioned earlier. And that was a resolution that was issued by the government in the midst of Decree 152 and in the midst of the pandemic. It was designed by the government to specifically reduce the burdens that were imposed by Decree 152, which were seen as particularly onerous in the context of the economic downturn caused by the pandemic. So Resolution 105, it introduced many quite welcome concessions at the time. So it was a real shame when it was rescinded earlier this year. Therefore, I think the fact that Decree 70 reinstates many of those same provisions of Resolution 105, it's quite telling, and it's also quite promising.
Yes, Kenny, it does look promising and definitely a step in the right direction. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. So once again, thanks for sharing your views with us today. These are excellent insights. Now, before we end, if you aren't already, you can subscribe to Fragment's client alerts to make sure you are notified with any new developments in Vietnam. Thank you to our listeners. If you want a copy of the materials we shared today, please contact your Fragment professional. We look forward to seeing how the decree changes play out over the next few months. Once again, thanks for joining.
The Immigration Conversation podcast is presented by Fragment, the leading firm dedicated exclusively to immigration services worldwide. This episode is current as of the date of recording. With frequent changes in global immigration, be sure to keep up to date by visiting our website at www.fragment.com and subscribing to the Immigration Conversation on your favorite podcast service to hear the latest episode. This podcast is for informational purposes only. This podcast does not constitute legal advice or give rise to an attorney-client relationship between any listener and our firm. If you have any questions, please contact the global immigration professional with whom you work at Fragment.